Now, this week, a Chinese national known as the Bit Queen was sentenced to several years in a UK prison for running a £5.1 billion cryptocurrency Ponzi scheme that defrauded hundreds of thousands of Chinese investors. Prosecutors say some of the recovered funds will go to victims in China, but Rachel Reeves has suggested the money could instead help plug the gap in the Treasury's finances. Aidan Larkin is the chief executive of asset recovery firm Asset Reality and joins me now. Hello, Aidan.
Hi, nice to meet you.
How does the law enable this at the moment? How does UK law currently allow the government or law enforcement to seize cryptocurrency in criminal cases, especially when the crimes and the victims are overseas, as in this case?
So from a law enforcement perspective, this is another asset category. It doesn't matter if it's a Bitcoin or a boat, effectively. If there's a crime that has taken place, in this case, there's been a money laundering offence that's committed in UK shores, that means that the asset is in play with UK law enforcement. So again, doesn't matter if it's a mega yacht in a harbour somewhere, or if in this case, it's an extraordinary amount of Bitcoin that gives the UK government the right and policing the right to seize those assets because they've been involved in the commission of an offence.
Okay, but in a case like this, so the assets here are tied to foreign victims, but they're held under UK jurisdiction. Presumably there's diplomatic issues there.
Well, there's a tried and tested sort of route in international asset recovery when different jurisdictions will collaborate. Think of the typical large anti-corruption cases where corrupt government ministers have properties all around the world. So it's quite often that government agencies will collaborate. One will drive the case internationally. A foreign counterpart will then help in the seizure of the assets. But in this case, it was UK government actually and the UK policing running the investigation with working with their international counterparts. So the process around any asset recovery case is identifying third-party interests. Sometimes that could be a vessel that's seized and there's a legitimate financing claim against the asset, like some sort of hire purchase finance mortgage. Think about mortgages on properties, for example. And in this case, it just so happens that there are victims now making applications to say that actually these assets belong to them. So that'll be the next part of the chapter of this case, will be the interesting asset recovery twists and turns. And it could be that 100% of the proceeds all go back to the victims in China, with a proportion going to the UK for the role they've carried out. Again, this is very common in asset recovery cases. It could also be that the victims' claims will be in some sort of dispute and they have to be validated. So there's a very, very long process that's yet to run to identify what, if any, of a surplus is available to the UK to use.
Knowing a bit about the tech aspect of Bitcoin, I find myself wondering, presumably it's extremely hard even for law enforcement, if not impossible even for law enforcement, to seize Bitcoin without the cooperation of whoever's holding those Bitcoin, which in this case would be the person who's been jailed, right?
Not necessarily. It's refreshingly sort of binary. If you get access to things like the seed phrases, the passwords, then you don't need anyone's consent or permission. But you're absolutely right. If someone stores their crypto with a level of sophistication and government agencies don't find that, all the secret recovery phrase or seed phrase, the method that controls access to the asset, then it's very difficult to recover. But most seizures traditionally take place when the assets are held at a third party popular retail exchange. But in this case, they were held privately. But as you say, a lot of things will go on that will never be in the public domain, such as the amount of cooperation from the suspects or the accused. Many times people, as a former law enforcement myself, many times the defendant will cooperate and will give you access to passwords and PIN numbers and things like that. And that's what it appears on the face of this case, is that the assets have now been secured by the government agency. So quite straightforward in that sense. What is just, astronomical are the amounts involved.
Well, I mean, and this was my next question, because the numbers are so huge. Presumably, I mean, the moment this sort of these Bitcoin are unlocked, let alone sold, that's going to have huge impact on the value of Bitcoin across the world for everybody else as well. What considerations need to be borne in mind there?
So one of the reasons Asset Reality exists is we help governments sort of solve this problem of dealing with seized assets. And there is a common misconception that, back in the day, I was involved in one of the first ever sort of realizations of seized crypto and seized Bitcoin for UK law enforcement. And it is true that, in the early days of crypto, big disposals of crypto would move the market. But nowadays, the transaction values are so high that unless you were dumping billions in a single day, it wouldn't really move the market that much. So most government agencies around the world often will work with third-party private contractors and public sector and private sector collaboration to do a sort of what they call a multi-day disposition. So it's to softly sell off the assets in the background. But what's really important in this case is that we're not there yet. There's a good chance that 95% of all of these assets, quite rightly, go back to legitimate victims of a Ponzi scheme. But what hasn't been figured out is whether or not the victims have a claim over the actual asset, as in the Bitcoin, in which case they would benefit from the appreciation, or do they have a monetary claim? And that's something that's been played out in insolvency cases around the world. Think of the FTX collapse, the MT. Gox collapse, where creditors get back what they've put in. What is interesting in this case is that, and it's never been tested to my knowledge in proceeds of crime cases, is will they get back the upside? Because these assets have sat around for many years, which is why the number is so just enormous.
In other words, if you owned Bitcoin when it was worth £5,000 and it's now worth whatever it is, £80,000, do you get the £5,000 or do you get the £80,000? Yeah, I mean,
Precisely.
so I
Precisely.
mean, if so, I mean, I guess finally then, if these diplomatic hurdles and technological hurdles and legal hurdles can all be sort of jumped through, and the government finds it is in possession of £5.1 billion of cryptocurrency, and I accept it's a big if, should it sell it or should it not sell it? Or could it be a bit, as you've said before, like Gordon Brown selling off all the gold?
There has been a lot of international debate around, the creation of strategic reserves. The UK said very quickly after, the US President Trump announced the creation of a strategic Bitcoin reserve that would be filled with forfeited Bitcoin. So in that instance, if this was the US, it looks like any funds that were not sent back to third-party victims would sit in a reserve. The UK has already made its position quite clear that it'll not be creating a strategic reserve. Now, what I think, obviously don't speak for Rachel Reeves, but if there's any large surplus, then that would go back through the normal process where it's effectively forfeited to to the country. And then there's a mechanism within asset recovery incentivization that some goes to the Home Office, some goes to the court, some goes to the underlying forces. So unless the UK changed its position and said we're going to create a Bitcoin reserve, which I don't think will happen anytime soon, although I was speaking at a conference recently where Nigel Farage says if he was prime minister, the first thing he would do would be to create a Bitcoin strategic reserve. So we'll have to wait and see what happens on that front. But this will go through the same process as every boat, gold bar, and any other asset that's been sold. Once the third parties are settled, then there could be an eventual forfeiture of that balance. And then that
Understood.
is what goes into the UK coffers.
Fascinating. Thank you very much indeed. That is Aidan Larkin, Chief Executive of asset recovery firm Asset Reality.